Turn over to James, James chapter 1. We'll continue our study here in the book of James. James, the pastor there at the Church of Jerusalem, one of the apostles, James the Less, we believe, a brother of Jude, who the Lord used to write the book of Jude, seeming to be the half-brothers of the Lord there. To me, it seems to be the case. Writing, he says he's writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, we can take that, we can say, well, that's not to us, being Gentiles. Well, there is a purpose that he's writing to the Jews, but that directing it towards them. But if it's in the Word of God, it's written for our admonition, right? It's written for our instruction and for our learning. And so we've taken a look here, and we want to reiterate that this. We want to just touch by it real quick in verse number 2. He said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I want to pull that word temptations out there for you. And I want to add a thought there or a synonym to it, trial. Okay, we're going to see some differences in the message tonight in this. And then he says, trying your faith works patience. Faith getting stretched. And patience, we talk about long-suffering that the Lord showed us during the time of His ministry. Patience, let it have its perfect work. Let her have her perfect work, that we may be perfect. We might be mature and entire, wanting nothing. We need to grow up in the Lord. And so, He says, count it all joy when you fall into those trials. Well, Brother Jim, it's hard on my skin. Yes, it is. It's hard on our skin. It's hard on our mind. But we need to be faithful to the Lord, claim His promises and what He has promised us, looking to Him. Why? Because when that trial comes along and we endure it well, we with patience run the race, and enduring that trial, that temptation, that trial, our faith is exercised and we grow. It's part of growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. This looks impossible. And we say, Lord, You've got to work it. You've got to do it. And then He does. And then we grow in faith, don't we? We have confidence, so then the next trial that comes upon us, we can say, I know the Lord will do it. And that next trial comes along, maybe it's bigger. Well, I know the Lord did this one, and I know the Lord did this one. He can take care of this one too. And so we see that evidenced in the saints and in Hebrews there, the honor roll of faith, if you will, there in Hebrews 11. Telling about those that they were faithful. They knew the Lord would work. And then if you lack wisdom, ask of the Lord. He's got wisdom that just abounds. And He gives liberally. He doesn't upbraid, but He gives it out. Ask in faith. Don't be double-minded. Don't be wavering when you ask, but have confidence in the Lord that He will answer. A double-minded man, verse 8, is unstable in all his ways. Going this way, going that way. Can't make up mind. Well, I'm faithful today in this. It's looking pretty good. Tomorrow gets a little tougher. Well, maybe I'm going to kind of back up on it. No, we need to be faithful. We need to look to the Lord, faithful in Him. You just got to have faith, the world says. Listen, if you're going to have faith and it's going to work, it's got to be in someone, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty is the only one for it to be focused upon. We looked last time about the brother of low degree, the brother that is wealthy in the things, the admonition that the Lord gives to them. Again in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into different, diverse temptations or trials. Verse number 12. Blessed, happy, touched by God. When I see that word blessed, years ago, when I was working in the jail ministry there at Independence Baptist Church, the Lord really open that up about that word blessed to me. It does mean happy, but in the context of some of those Old Testament scriptures and the one there in the Psalms that talks about a man being forgiven and the Lord not imputing iniquity to him and how the Lord is saved and his account in regards to eternity and that sin that stands against him, that account has been washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord just so spoke to me about that where it helped me to understand the man that is blessed, the man, woman, boy, or girl that is blessed of the Lord has been touched by God. You realize you've been touched by the Lord. You've been moved upon by the Lord. You've been spoken to by the Lord. He saved you. He's shown you Christ. He's shown you your sin. He's shown you your need. And He's visited you, and He sent His Spirit to come and live within. We've been touched by God when we've been blessed that way. I mean, it's more than being happy. It's being happy in the Lord. It's rejoicing in the Lord. I mean, the Lord has visited the likes of me. What famous person do you like in whatever it is that you like? You know, some folks like NASCAR, some folks like baseball, some folks like basketball, different ones like that. Do we ever think that any of those people that are famous in the world would drive down Olmsted Road and stop at 2021 Olmsted Road and come see me? But the Lord did. I wasn't at 2021 Olmsted Road, although He does visit me and shows me stuff in His Word, but He lives within all the time. But He did visit me at Laclede Station Road in Maplewood, Missouri. He came and visited me. And oh, boy, it is just something how that word blessed, what it means. Happy because he's been touched by God. Listen, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Kind of sounds like long-suffering, doesn't it? Yeah. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the woman, the boy, the girl that's been saved, that endureth temptation. For when he is tried. That word tried is talking about the money. And I get out the wallet and I pulled out a few dollar bills. And if I pulled out a few dollar bills and they were, I can't get it because this thing here. I pulled out a dollar bill. I pulled out that dollar bill and it was red. You wouldn't even think about considering taking it, would you? Because what color is the money of our country? Green. Right? That word tried is talking about how the money had to meet a certain standard for the money changers to be willing to swap for it. If it had been shaved on too much, if it was small in size, if the weight of it was not right, it was rejected. The Lord told Peter, He said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. He wants to find out what you're made of. Satan thinks you're all chaff, Peter. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Blessed, happy is the man, touched by God is the man that endureth temptation. That word temptation is talking about the same trial that verse number 2 is talking about. Okay? For when he is tried, when he is proved, when he endures, it's kind of along the line of what we saw over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You remember that? When it's talking about the Lord's Supper. There in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 11. It's talking about some of the things that are going on in the church and that the faithful in the church would be manifested, would be shown, would be proven. It's the same kind of thing. When they are there and they stand for the truth of the Word of God, when they stand for what the Lord says, blessed, happy, touched by God is the man that endureth temptation, endures that trial, for when he is tried, when he is reckoned to what the Lord has done in him, the faith that he's been given, the grace that has been bestowed upon him, his desire to serve and look to the Lord in that trial, he shall receive the crown of life. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. I didn't say it. The Lord says it. What's that mean? That means that we can be tried and maybe found wanting. There's crowns to be won. There's crowns for faithful service. This crown of life is talking about salvation. Yes. It's talking about faithfulness too, I believe. He shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. How is it that we know to love the Lord? Because He first loved us. Right? We love the Lord because He first loved us. Look over here at this witness and this testimony about this crown of life. Revelation chapter 2. Take a look here. These churches here in Asia Minor, the crown of life. Listen here. The crown of life, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, Alpha and Omega, Jesus Christ, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. They're against what I'm for, the Lord says. They're of that group that follows after Lucifer, after Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Whoa. Whoa. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He tells them, Satan's going to come, and you're going to suffer some things. You, in the world, you've got tribulation. The Lord says He knows of their works. They've got tribulation. They have, in this physical world, they have poverty. But the Lord says you're rich because you have Me. He knows those things that are being spoken, that blasphemy spoken of them, which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. He says, fear not. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast you, some of you, into prison. What if we got that word tonight? Would you be tempted to run before they got here to take us? Who would it be? Who would it be? Would we have the faith to stay here till they came and got us? The Lord warned her, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And going on beyond that, that ye may be tried. There it is, that word is again. To see what you're made of. To be tested. To endure the trial. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And how about this? Be thou faithful unto death. You ready to die for the Lord? In a sense, that's what the child of God who the Lord saves is told that he must do, is give up his life. Right? But then are we ready to give our life physically for the Lord? To die, to cause this breath to quit, to be not breathing anymore, this heart not be beating anymore? Thou shalt have a tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And he says this to all these churches, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The overcomers. The overcomers in the churches. Oh, may the Lord help us to see that we need to be faithful, that we need to endure that temptation, that the promise of the crown of life is there. To those that love the Lord, those that are faithful to Him, to those that seek His face in everything they face. Take a look over here, Revelation chapter 2, up here at the top. Up here, take a look at this church here. Writing to churches. Okay? Writing to churches, writing to who are in churches? People that are saved. Verse number 1 of chapter 2 in Revelation. Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how that thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how that hast tried them which say there are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They put some fellows that said they were apostles to the test and found out and told them, you are a liar. Well, Brother Jim, we're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to be kind. We're supposed to be compassionate. Yes. But when one stands up in error proclaiming something that's false, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we're to take the Word of God and challenge them on it. That's the way that it is. Thou hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. So he commends them, doesn't he? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. It can be that churches and the people of God, that's the reason I say about this crown of life, on one case I would say it'd be talking about salvation, on another thing I would think that it would be a crown given because of faithfulness. Because here in the church of Ephesus, there are those that have left their first love. It can happen to us. If the Lord tells us, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. God gives everlasting life, and there's not a thing that can change that. But we can get cold, can't we? We can get far away, can't we? We can look to get out there walking on the edge of the fellowship with the Lord, can't we? Sure can. And you know, it can happen to us. It can happen to us before we even realize it. Why? Because things come in. The world, the way of the world comes in. Things come in. We let things distract. They're all right. They're just a little wet. They're okay. And our fellowship with the Lord is diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. I heard a brother say it again this week. He said, nothing against anybody that goes to Bible college, but another brother said it. He said, one of the best ways to get away from the Lord is to go to Bible college. Because you're there doing the assignments and you're studying for the assignments and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing and you're getting it, you're just working on a timetable to get it all done, and your fellowship with the Lord is not there. You're ministering, you're doing stuff relative to the Word of God and all that, but you're not visiting and having fellowship with your Savior. There's a difference. There's a difference. You know, that can happen in pastoring. With the messages, the teaching, the counseling, the this, the that, and the other, a pastor, myself, I'm subject to it, can get just in the groove of meeting the deadlines, meeting the things that need to be done, and for the sake of the church and the sake of the ministry, that if I don't watch, my fellowship with the Lord can begin to suffer. And I need to have fellowship with the Lord, and I need to do those things that are there. Here, this church, they left their first love. And what is their first love? The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Jim, it's a love for sinners. Listen, if the love for the Lord Jesus Christ is there, there'll be a love for sinners. If the love for the Lord Jesus Christ is there, there'll be a hatred of sin. Did you hear that? If the love for the Lord Jesus Christ is there, there'll be a hatred for sin. Yeah, we need to hate sin. Not gloss it over or placate it or just say, well, it's kind of gray and kind of bad and kind of not. No, we need to hate sin because the Lord hates sin. Sin caused our Savior to have to die for us. Back in James chapter 1. Blessed is the man, happy, touched by God, is the man that endureth temptation. Endure it. Count it all joy. Understand that patience and faith is being exercised. Patience will grow. And when one endures such, and when he's tried, when he's found to be faithful, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Ephesus had went away from their first love. Let us beware and not do so. And let us remember Smyrna and what was told to them, that the Lord gave them a death sentence for his sake. And they were warned, jail, 10 days, you're going to die, but be faithful, and I'll give you the crown of life. I'll give you a crown of life. Verse 13, let no man say, when he is tempted, different word than verse 2, okay? Different word than verse 2, different word than verse 12, okay? Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For man cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Those words tempted there in verse 13, they're not talking about a trial. They're talking about, hey, here's some sin. Here's some sin for you to fill up the lust of your flesh. Here's some sin for you to enjoy yourself and enjoy the pleasure of sin. Satan will never tell that it's for a season. The flesh and mankind will never, the world will never tell that it's not going to last. Look over here in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the beginning of His ministry, after His baptism of John the Baptist, in chapter 4 here of Matthew, it says in verse number 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered." And some folks would say, well, that's just impossible. There's folks who say that. Well, that's impossible. We're dealing with God here. We're dealing with the God-man. We're dealing with the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. We're dealing with the Son of Man. He had the power to keep His body alive when it should have died, I believe, during His beating, through His the mocking that they did, and then the crucifixion. He should have died earlier than He did. But I believe He kept His body alive. Said He was beat to a pulp. Couldn't tell He was a man. He was so beat up. You ever see somebody purport to show you a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross? If you can tell it's a man, it's not Him. It's the great imposter. My mom would refer to Him as the great imposter and the Dalton gang. You know, there at the Lord's Supper, the picture of the Lord's Supper. You got the long-haired hippie freak in the middle. And that's the great imposter. And then all those that purported to be apostles in that Last Supper are the Dalton gang. A little bit of humor there. But it's not so. He kept His body alive. Yes, He could fast for 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward and hungered. Listen to this, verse 3. "And when the tempter came to Him," the tempter, same word as in James chapter 1, verse number 13, "let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man." Same word. When the tempter. This is not a trial, but this is the temptation of sin. Won't you go ahead and disobey God? Let's look at how the Lord dealt with it. "When the tempter came to Him," verse 3 of Matthew 4, "He said, if thou be the Son of God," if thou be the Son of God, "command that these stones be made bread." What did the Lord do? Did He zap Satan? Did he take the glory that He had set aside, or the glory and the power that He had suppressed in becoming a man, coming meek and lowly? Did He release that and just take that power and that ability and unleash it on Satan? No. No. But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, answered Satan. In the day of His living on this earth, He answered him with the Word of God. Resist the devil, James is going to tell us, and he will flee from you. Don't fight him. We don't fight the devil. Don't ever think that we would take on and be able to have power enough to whip up on Satan. I mean, that's a lie. But we can resist him by standing in the Lord's Word, telling him what God says. As the angel that it's accounted of there in Jude that wrestled and disputed over the body of Moses, he did not bring a railing accusation against him. He didn't say, "Satan, get out of here. This is not your place. You know you're not going to get Moses' body." But instead he said, "The Lord rebuked thee." That's our answer. And that's what the Lord did here. He said, "Command that these stones be made bread, and you can eat then. I know you're hungry," he answered and said. "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Satan whips out some word of God on him. That's right. He brings out some word of God on him. And notice here, notice in this account, do a miracle, change the rocks to bread. Well, it won't go there. This is the way Satan always works. Okay, do something a little easier. All you got to do is just fall off. That's the way Satan does. We resist him, and bring some other junk around. Jesus said unto him, Satan, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He answered him with the word. He stood there and resisted him, says, No. No. The Lord, the Father, our Heavenly Father, does not want us to presume upon His grace, upon His protection, and being foolish. No. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taking up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. I've heard different folks, different men say different things about this passage. I really believe that within the guise and the limits of what God has given him to do, he could do that. He could give it to him. Unless the Lord had limited him in some way, because he's the prince and the power of the air. Daniel tells us about how it was when he made his request to the Lord to know about what the prophecies of Jeremiah and other those that had written his counterparts and others that had written before him, to understand that. And the angel that came to him and brought that answer said, As soon as your prayer was heard, I was on my way, but the prince of Persia withstood me. 20-some days, if I remember right. There in that spiritual realm, that angel was looking to bring that message to Daniel. But that prince of Persia, that angel, that wicked angel, that fallen angel that had been given a place there over that wicked nation of Persia, he withstood him and wouldn't let the angel get there. They fought and they wrestled. So the Lord caused him to prevail so he could get there to Daniel and tell him what the message from the Lord was. Yeah, there's a wrestling. That's those principalities and powers and that thing that God only knows about that's going on the other side. We've been given a glimpse to it. I think he could have given it to him. Then Jesus said unto him, And what did he say? He said, Turn the rocks to bread. Do a miracle. Next, fall off the temple. All you got to do is just fall off. The next thing he says, he makes it even easier. He said, All you got to do is just bow down. Easier, easier, easier. What's the Lord do? Then said, saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for that is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. No idols, Satan. No graven images, Satan. No other gods, Satan. Worship belongs to the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Lord Jesus Christ, answers Satan with the Word of God. And we see there that Satan left him till later on. The tempter, back in James chapter 1, verse 13. No man, let no man say when he is tempted, not a trial, not a testing even of the Lord, but when sin comes along, let no man say when he is tempted by sin, tempted by the tempter, that he's tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Look over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Take a look over here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. and sent Timotheus, the Apostle Paul says, writing to those at Thessalonica, the church there, sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, to build you up, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto, that we're appointed to suffer, we're appointed to bear these things. It's necessary, to what he's been talking to him about. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know, that's the way that it is. The Lord suffered tribulation, we will suffer tribulation. The Lord suffered, and part of our ministry, part of our work, is to suffer with Him. It will be, if we stand for Him. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I couldn't wait, I sent Timothy to know your faith, to know how you were standing, to know where you were in the faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. It could be that the tempter could dissuade Olmsted Baptist Church from being about the business that we're to be about. We could be tempted to fuss and quarrel and carry on with one another about things that don't matter a lick, and the work that really needs to be done be drawn away from because we're spending our energy doing fiddling around with other stuff. We could be persuaded. It could be that with one pastor, the doctrine that the church has stood in for years could be turned or changed. It could be that those some in the church could change the mission and the plan and the purpose of the Lord and His church. If we are not built up in the most holy faith, it could be that we could be swayed away from what our purpose. It can happen to us. We can never say, nah, that won't ever happen at OBC. We can't say that. It can happen. But we are to persevere. We are to stand in it. We are to be that pillar and ground of the truth that the Lord has commanded us to be. And we can be tempted by Satan. We can be tempted by ungodly men. What is it that the Apostle Paul said? He says, after my decease, grievous wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. He told that some 1,900 to 2,000 years ago. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? There will be those ravening wolves that will come in sheep's clothing. Prophets, false prophets, declaring a false gospel, a false doctrine, a doctrine against the Lord. It's possible. The tempter certainly can tempt us to leave the faith, to leave those things of the Lord. We're not talking about salvation. But we're talking about the working of a church. Why is it that the Lord wrote to the churches at Asia Minor and warned them? Why is it that He gave a promise about overcoming? Overcoming in the truth. Overcoming in the Word of the Lord. Overcoming in the way of the Lord. What the Lord has said. Because we are subject to not do so. It's possible that we might not. If we leave our first love, then we might get our aim off, huh? We're supposed to be striving and pressing toward the mark, towards the high calling of God. Amen? And may the Lord help us to see that. Back in James, or if you will, just over real quick over Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And look here how it is. And oh, may the Lord help us to get a hold of this. This account here, in verse number 10 of Revelation 12, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan is busy about tempting the people of God and tempting mankind to sin with the advertisement, the pornography of the world, the lasciviousness of the world, the entertainment, the pleasure of the world. Satan will take a thing and use it, and in and of itself it may not have anything that would be wicked or evil in and of itself. But if we can be found in a place where we give our all to that, is there anything wrong with Facebook? Not a thing wrong with Facebook in and of itself. But if it's used wrong, it can hurt us. It can hurt others. It can take so much of our time that we leave off things that we ought to be doing. Praying to the Lord, fellowshipping with the saints, reading the Word of God. I like woodworking. Is there anything wrong with woodworking? No, it's a most righteous thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ probably did some carpentry with his stepdaddy, right? But I can get into that too much and pull away from the things that I need to be about doing, and it can pull me away. We can work too much. We can do this too much, TV too much, this to others. So we can take anything. And Satan will be out there tempting. And then at the same, not the same time, because he's not omnipresent, but he'll be tempting, and then he'll be going back before God. Look over there at Jim Duke. You say he's saved. You say he's yours. Look at him over there sinning, wasting his time, taking what you give him, and over there spending it so he can sin against you. He might be telling the truth. He might be lying on me too. But he's there doing it. And we need to beware. We need to beware. Back over in James. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God doesn't tempt men to sin. God doesn't tempt, cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. Next time we'll pick it up and see how it is in verse 14. But every man is tempted, and he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Satan's work is that enticement. And being saved, it's the soul that's been saved. The old body hadn't been. My old junky mind, it hadn't been saved. And it's still there, warring, quarreling, fussing, wanting to go that old way. Let it do it in a moment's notice. It'll fly off and go do it. The Lord says we got to pin it down. We got to mortify. We got to crucify this old man. And not let it be enticed. Not let those thoughts turn into sin. A brother said years ago, the father of the deed is the thought. Think about that. The father of the deed is the thought. That's the reason that I don't buy when somebody says, I don't know what happened. I just ended up here. Sorry. That doesn't fly. We think about it. And we think about it more. And then we'll go over there and do a flyby it and say, well, yeah, it'd be pretty good. Got real close that time. Yeah, got a little bit closer that time. Right? Isn't that the way we are? You know it. And then we're over there doing it. No, I'm not gonna text them, but I'll just text them this little bit. And the next thing you know, we're talking to somebody we shouldn't even be talking to. May the Lord help us to see it. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. God sent His only begotten Son to be a Savior for sinners like you and me. Why did He do it? I don't know. I'm just glad He did. Amen? He did it because He wanted to. He did it because of His eternal plan and purpose, that His name might be glorified and magnified more. Oh, how great the love of the world, or the love that the Lord had for His creation, for mankind, that He purposed and planned to save sinners, to make them joint heirs with His Son. How can it be? The Lord Jesus Christ came to pay for the sins of His people. Can you believe that He died for you that day? Do you see yourself compared to the Lord Jesus Christ as the sinner that you really are? You don't match up. You don't even come close. It's not even a beginning contest about your righteousness that you have in yourself compared up to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are found wanting. You lack. And don't ever have hope to catch up. But Jesus Christ came and offered Himself freely. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it again. Did He do that for you? Did He do that for you? Repent. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. He's promised He'll save your soul. We pray for you that the Lord will work with you.